Good morning. It is May the 11th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is A Mother's Love. And I have two scripture readings that I would like to share before I begin my message. The first one is very famous, probably the most famous psalm out of them all, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then my second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem, or what we know as Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. A mother's love. I'm going to give you a date that in most respects means very little or nothing at all to many people. April the 5th, 1966. You know, our lives are constantly filled with numbers, from the cradle to the grave. We put numbers on our income taxes that we file. We have a Social Security number that is assigned to us for life. If we earn and receive a driver's license, we are given a driver's license number. Many of you have bank accounts, and if you have a checking or a savings account, you are assigned a routing number and then the actual account number for either one. You and I, we all have numbers when we are born. And many of us are known from the year that we graduated from high school or the year we graduated from college. Now, I would also say, don't get me started on passwords, because we live in a digital age, and many of our passwords, it is required to have numbers in them for security reasons. So for good or bad, in many respects, we are known by numbers. Whether we are a number at a deli, waiting in line for a sandwich, or we are in line at the DMV, waiting to process our paperwork for our driver's license or registration, etc. What is so beautiful from both readings in the Bible, Psalm 23 and John 10, is the salient fact that God knows us to our core. God knows us very intimately and in many instances better than we know ourselves. We are more than a number to the Lord. Is it a surprise then from both scripture readings that the image of a shepherd and his sheep comes to the forefront? Even though most of us who are listening to this message, that is a completely foreign lifestyle for us. We do not live in an agrarian or agricultural lifestyle. Most of us do not have family members that are shepherds or they herd cattle. Let me quote from the scripture readings again. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And Jesus' most famous words, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." There are many people in life, people that we might know personally, who have a distorted view of God. And that perception, that distortion, is keeping them from the love of God, and not surprisingly, from the life of a local church because of misperceptions. Now, what can you and I do to help people see God in a personal way that is the embodiment of mercy and grace and forgiveness and a deep, abiding love that is wholesome and pure? Some people think that God is angry with them and that God is just waiting for the opportunity to judge them and strike them down, bringing punishment. They live fearful their entire life on the topic and notion of God. Other people, however, think that God doesn't care about them one whit, that they're on their own, and that whatever happens to them is a result of their hard work, genetics, or by chance. You know, one of the most important emotions in life is to be known and to be accepted. That other people really do care for us, and that our lives have importance and value, and that also includes how and what we think, and the corresponding values and morality that we carry with us. The good news this morning is that we are known by God and that we are deeply loved by God. And that means that God will not abandon or forget us, even though people will. It means that God calls us by name just like a mother calls her child by name. It means that God knows us so well, even the very numbers of hairs on our head, or for some, the lack of hairs on our head. So you and I are more than just a number assigned to us at birth, a number assigned at the Social Security office, or the Department of Motor Vehicles, or again, whether we are in a line at a deli waiting for a sandwich. My prayer is that the words of Jesus comfort your hearts and your anxious souls. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. When you think about it, it is comforting and reassuring to know that Jesus of Nazareth loves and cares for all of us at all stages of our lives. I say that because accidents happen. Disasters can come suddenly upon us. Sickness can strike at any moment. Misfortune is right around the corner. I'd like to share with you a story I read about the famous 19th century Protestant pastor going by the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. He was a classical liberal American Baptist preacher, and he served prominently at First Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. He spoke of a visit he had with a teenage girl who was stricken sadly with polio. And in her disease, she demonstrated profound wisdom and faith for a teenager, much less an adult. And she discovered one of life's greatest secrets. It's not what happens to you that matters as much as what happens in you. Let me repeat it again. It is not what happens to you that matters as much as what happens in you. Think about those words. Faith in God does not shield us from danger entirely. It's certainly not the disappointments of life. But our faith in God does give us strength and courage to carry on, and I dare say to overcome the obstacles that are before us. There was a woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. and she was a faithful, devout Christian woman who was dedicated to helping others. She was by trade a Dutch watchmaker and also became a Christian writer and speaker. She and her family decided that they were going to help Jewish people escape from the Nazi insanity and tyranny of the Holocaust. And they did so by hiding Jewish people in their home. They opened up their home to the stranger, to the alien, to the orphan. In their generosity and sacrifice and courage, they were found out. And Corrie ten Boom and her family were sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. I know Corrie ten Boom from reading her book many, many years ago titled The Hiding Place. Maybe some of you have heard of this book. Maybe some of you have read it on your own. In one of her writings, she recounts a conversation she had. And this is a conversation that took place while she was inside this concentration camp. One day, another prisoner asked her why God would let them suffer so much if God were truly a loving and caring God. How many times have we heard that objection to our Christian faith, to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Corrie ten Boom thought for a moment, and then she replied to that very serious question. She said, "There are many things I do not understand, and I cannot explain to you. But if you knew the Lord the way I know him, you wouldn't ask why. You would be satisfied to know that God is good and that God loves us." Corrie ten Boom knew that God was greater even than the evil that surrounded them in that concentration camp. And because God was greater than evil, God somehow, some way would see them through. You know, I think there are times in our lives when we are like the disciples who were crossing the Sea of Galilee in the evening, and all of a sudden, a squall comes down furiously, and the squall raises the wind and the water levels, and the water begins to be, and the boat, excuse me, begins to be swamped by the water. So much so that it starts to sink. And the disciples are frantic. They are anxious, and to say it plainly, they're terrified because the wind and the waves are coming into this boat. And in their fear and terror, we read that Jesus, throughout all this commotion, was asleep on a cushion in the stern. And for your reference point, that is Mark chapter 4. They said out loud, the disciples, what we sometimes think internally. Teacher or master, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care, God, if I am perishing? Don't you care that I just see nothing but darkness? There is no light at the end of the proverbial tunnel? Three words. Don't you care? Both Psalm 23 and John 10 are so beautiful for us, especially when we battle disease and old age and our infirmities come to play. Maybe for some of you it's the death of a loved one, or maybe the loss of a job, or maybe a friendship that has been severed. Don't you care, Lord? You know, life can be hard at times. Things happen that are outside of our control. But God is greater than the struggles and disappointments that we encounter in our lives. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I'm coming back to that original date of Numbers that I gave at the onset of this message, April the 5th, 1966. For many of you, that date means absolutely nothing, and rightfully so. But for me, the one speaking to you, that is the day that I was born. That is the day that I came into this world. And I came into this world because a young teenage mother had the courage and the fortitude to keep her baby, despite others telling her to have an abortion. You know, there is not a day that goes by that I do not thank God for my mother's courage and steadfast belief in keeping me in her womb. And as a result, my mother would have four other boys. There are five of us. You know, just recently, I was ordained in the Global Methodist Church. And before my ordination as an elder, I had a lot of thoughts and emotions going through my head. You see, my mother dedicated me to the Lord as a young teenage mother at a Baptist church in Lawton, Oklahoma. And my mother would go through a lot of struggles and turmoil in her life. She was basically growing up in those turbulent, crazy 1960s, free love, free drugs, and who knows whatever else that was taking place then. So from the 1960s to the later years in her life before she passed, she experienced peace in many respects before she died. And my mother passed away in 2008. You see, when I was moving away to go to college in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania in 1987, my mother told me for the very first time in my life, and why she kept this information from me, I have never found out. But she told me that she dedicated me to the Lord as an infant. So we've come full circle. On May the 10th, 2025, I was ordained an elder in the Global Methodist Church, all because of a mother's love so many years ago. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. For all of us, as we encounter and go through various ups and downs in life, there are moments of peace and tranquility, and then there are moments of raging storms. And it is important to remember and to listen to the gentle voice that says, I know my own, and they know me. Amen.